Okay, I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Once again, I'm joined by the longtime journalist, George Froelich. He's had an interesting career. He was the executive producer of the old Vancouver show on CKVU and then was a producer at the CBC on the Journal broadcast. He was an editor at the Vancouver Sun and then went on to run Channel 13 when Global owned it. He is now the editor of the Savvy Insider, a weekday newsletter that's delivered to your email or read online at savvyinsider.ca. There are reviews on products, there's trend watching, movie and restaurant reviews, and more. They're succinct and terribly useful. I'm pleased to welcome back to the Planta on the Line program as we get close to Christmas, George Froelich. Good morning, Mr. Froelich.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Did I describe the Savvy Insider correctly?
Yes, you did. Yep.
Yeah.
And hang on.
And readers, you have a lot of readers, do you now?
Yes, it's the readership is increasing pretty well at a pretty good clip and has been now for the last 6 or 7 months.
Do you find that the readers that come to you, that subscribe to the email or that go onto the website, that they're interested in particular things? Like, do you find that there are certain things that they're interested more in than others, perhaps?
You know, to be honest, Joe, we haven't done a readership survey, and that's what we're going to do sort of early in the new year. And it's really hard to gauge, although the one thing I can tell you that the rate for people dropping the subscription is substantially below what it is for the norm in the newsletter industry. They usually drop as many as 15 to 20%, and ours is about 7 to 10%.
Did you look, though, at what people are reading in terms of pages and the sort?
I don't have that information yet.
No.
That's what I have to do is, and I'm going to do a readership survey, and we're going to make some changes to the website, which will allow us to do that. Now, Google used to provide that for you, but they don't do that anymore, so it's hard to tell what people are really interested in.
Let's move on to something that's making news in this part of the world. Tony Parsons, the longtime anchor of BCTV, Global BC's broadcast, when he was on to talk about his book, he said that he was going to anchor through the Olympics and sign off after that, after this, I guess, 35-year-long career. Apparently, he's signing off tonight, or by the time you're hearing this, he'll have last night. What did he mean to this market, to your business? I know that you were in competition with him for a lot of years.
Well, he was sort of really the major anchor force in the business and had been for decades. I think it's fair to say now that today's anchor, the anchor they have in Chris Galis right now, he's the new type of anchor. He's much more outgoing, more gregarious. Tony's of the old school, sort of in the Walter Cronkite era, and he reflects that, and Chris Galis is more the new modern contemporary anchor. And there's no doubt about it that Tony Parsons was a major force in this market, and indeed in Canada, because of the impact the program had and the number of viewers it had, that everybody in North America was watching what they were doing because they got so many viewers. Now, the problem with television news these days is the audience is not regenerating itself, and that's the big problem that every newsroom faces, including Global. The audience is getting older, and at one point, younger people used to, when they reached their 30s or so, they would start watching news. That's no longer the case. So for the long run, all of these nightly news programs are going to have a terrible, terrible problem, and they're dropping audience like crazy. And although BCTV likes to brag about the fact how big their audience is, the fact of the matter is it's declining over the years.
And we see that in terms of ads that we see on television. Like I was watching on your old channel, Channel 13,
yep.
Their lunch television broadcast a couple weeks ago, and they didn't break for their first commercials until 20 after the hour, and they were back at 22 after the hour.
So I bet you they filled it with a lot of promos about their programming.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a clear-cut indication they're not getting any audience. Now, a lot of it, the stuff is sort of mandated by the regulatory agency, the CRTC, and a lot of the companies are having to put on local programming, and news is one of them, and it's still relatively cheap, but I bet you a lot of these programmers, if they could, they would just drop it altogether.
The rumor is that he'll wind up a check. Is that what you're hearing as well?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, and, you know, I find this whole thing, this sort of sudden departure of his, quite strange. There's something going on behind the scenes that we're not yet privy to, and the way it's all happening, There's no way that this was planned. This happened. All of a sudden, something happened behind the scenes, because usually when an anchor leaves, if you look at some of the major anchors in the U.S., when they leave, there's a lead up to it. They promote the fact they're doing a special on him, and for him to last night, you know, all of a sudden announce that tonight was going to be his last night, i.e. Wednesday, is it's not right. There's something wrong there. I don't know what it is, but it's not right. Maybe something happened behind the scenes that we don't know about.
Do you think it's a non-compete clause that perhaps, because I mean the rumor is that he'll be back on check in Victoria in March, and yes. If he leaves now, that gives him the 3-month window that he needs.
Yes, and Pete, was my sense of it is, having been, as you know, in the business for a long, long time, that they tried to reach some kind of an agreement, or he pushed for a certain position, and management said no to it, and he decided, I've had enough, so I'm just quitting, I'm going to quit right away. Because the way he, as you say, in the book, when you talked to him about his book, he said he was going to stay on beyond the Olympics, and all of a sudden he quits like that, and they're just trying to put a brave face on something that happened unexpectedly, no doubt about it.
And at least he gets a sign-off, right? I mean, most people, when they leave channels or whatever, like when Pamela Martin left Global, or I guess it was BCTV at the time, she never got to say goodbye to her. And I'm sure when you fired people that you fired over the years, do you let them have a sign-off on the air?
No.
Yeah.
No. And, you know, in retrospect, I would change that today because it's not fair to the viewers. The concern has always been sort of the internal politics of it all. And really, if you do let somebody go or somebody leaves, you should really allow them a sign-off. And there's no way Global could do anything but what they're doing tonight is saying they're going to have this big going-away party literally on the air for him because of the impact he's made in the marketplace and the number of viewers and his loyal fans. So they really have no choice. But reading between the lines, it's not as pleasant as it appears to be.
Looking back at some of his competition overviews, I think you guys did pretty well when you had Russ Froese and Jennifer Mather on, right?
Yes. Well, what we did is, Joe, we changed the news program totally. We did things that nobody else in the marketplace and, of course, did. And so we were new, so people flocked to us. But then we reached, sort of, for want of a better word, a critical mass of the kind of news that we did that appealed to people. And after that, we were sort of at a standstill, and there's nothing you could do about it. And we tried everything under the sun in terms of new products. And the problem, of course, was, and I remember somebody at senior at BCTV telling me, that they were watching what we were doing, and every time something we did worked, they just copied us.
Yeah.
And, of course, when the big gun does that, then the competitive advantage you had is being eroded because people are seeing it, and they're saying, well, you know, we'd still like Global better than that other station.
I guess it was Suzette Myers and Russ Froese. They were the first pairing, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. I remember we switched over when they came on.
Well, they were sort of more the young and contemporary, and we initiated a lot of things like health coverage and consumer coverage, and we used to have these televotes where we would pose an issue of the day to the viewers, and they could vote on it, and then we'd give it to them. We'd have experts in the studio if there was a particularly hot topic that viewers could get answers to their questions. And all of that was copied by BCTV.
Does it pain you to watch your old channel now?
Do you know what? Do you mean you're talking about the one that's owned by City now?
Yeah.
Sorry, by Rogers?
Well,
you know,
Rogers.
I don't watch them. I don't watch much news anymore because I'm on the computer an awful lot. I subscribe to all sorts of blogs and RSS feeds. And I get all the news. And you know what the biggest problem in the industry is, and this is true about the local papers too, that most of the editors don't understand the impact of the Internet and what it's had on news consumption. You still find that the Vancouver Sun on the front page has a story that's been on the Internet all day, the previous day, and all night, and they're still treating it as if they're the first ones to come up with it. And they're not giving you anything different. They're just reporting the news. The only paper I can honestly tell you that I enjoy reading is the Globe and Mail. Because there, when you get a story, they at least try to give you some background, some in-depth analysis. And, of course, that's very costly to produce. So newspapers are sort of, and television news is the same. They're at a conundrum. What do? They're not paying people the proper salaries. And if they do that, they don't get the right staff to do the digging and all of that. And it has an impact. So the more and more that happens, the less viewers and readers and listeners they're going to have.
You use Twitter a lot, don't you, George?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Do you enjoy using it?
Yeah, I enjoy using it. What I find also is that, you know, there's so much you can learn on Twitter. And this is true about the Internet, too. I mean, the Internet has these infinitesimal opportunities to learn about things that you know nothing about. And that's why I say, you know, and I'm not your typical consumer, no doubt about it, because I spend more time on Facebook and Twitter and various social medias and get all that information than most people. However, you know, so that's why I'm quite critical of the news media in general. But the things that I'm talking about, they're facing everywhere. You know, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the major, you know, the only one magazine that's really got it right is The Economist. They are providing a service that people are willing to pay on their website, and they've just increased their price. And it proves that if you give something to people that they can't get anywhere else, that helps them understand the world we live in better, they're willing to pay for it. And now research has come out that clearly indicates that. That if you're going to give me something that I can't get anywhere else and it helps me understand things better, I'm willing to pay for it. I'm not going to pay a large amount, but the beauty of the Internet is that all you have to do is pay a few cents there, a few cents there, and you've got it. And that was the beauty of iTunes. When they first came out and really lowered the price, they understood that concept. You don't have to charge big bucks to make it. All you have to do is charge a little, but if you get millions of people paying for it, you're going to make big bucks.
I understand that you went to a dinner last week. I guess Chinese restaurants in the community put on a dinner.
Yes.
They have this awards thing. I remember reading on this, about this on the CBC website a year ago. There are awards now for the best Chinese restaurants in Lower Mainland or Metro Vancouver, whatever we're supposed to call it now?
Yeah. This is the second year, and they're divided into two categories. One of them is where people can go online or through mail vote for their favorite Chinese restaurants, and there's various categories. And they announced those about a week and a half ago. The next one, and that'll be announced right after the Olympics, is where they have a bunch of food experts, culinary critics, cooks, and you name it, and they visit different restaurants, and then they publish their selection. And I can also tell you, which was quite interesting, which I found out at the dinner, was that the awards have gotten so much attention that a story moved on it on one of the big wire services in China. Because what a lot of people don't understand is our food here in Metro Vancouver is second to none in the world. It's on the equivalent to what you can find in China, and that point has been made over and over and over again.
Are you part of the selection committee, or are you just covering it?
No, I'm not.
You're just covering it, right?
Just covering it and finding out about it. And I'll tell you, I mean, I've got some favorite places that I've gone to in terms of Chinese food. But the type of food that's out there and the multitude of Chinese restaurants in Richmond or on places like Fraser Street, block after block, I mean, they're just like back to back. It's unbelievable. And that means that's why our Chinese food is so terrific here in the Lower Mainland.
How often do you and your wife eat out?
I mean,
reading the restaurant reviews, it just seems you go out a lot.
Well, we do. I'd say twice a week for sure, sometimes three times.
Have you been to that French restaurant that I've been telling you about?
No, you know what? We were going to go, and then something came up, and it's on my list, and I'm definitely going to go.
People that are listening that don't know, it's a Les Faux Bourgeois at the corner of Fraser and Kingsway.
Yeah.
And it's just a great place. I've been there about 10 times now, and it's just a great place to get friends. It's affordable as well.
We had a reservation and everything made on a Saturday, and we had to cancel it at the last minute. This was about 3 or 4 weeks ago because something came up, so we didn't end up going, but we will go.
You have other contributors on at the Savvy Insider now, do you?
Yes. I've got a woman who writes Savvy Wine Picks once a week. She's the sommelier from a wonderful restaurant in False Creek called Marina Side, Provence, which is fabulous. Then I have somebody writing about cheap appetite. This gentleman, he's in the advertising industry, and he's lived in various parts of the world, and he writes about basically cheap restaurants. And I have another gentleman who writes about sort of music from different parts of the world.
The guy who writes the Cheap Appetite thing, I read that with interest. I always enjoy.
Well, you know, because people are interested in restaurants that are not expensive. I remember when I worked at the Vancouver Sun, they had a column every Friday, and various staffers could contribute it. You found a restaurant that was reasonably priced, and you wrote about it. And I wrote about some place on Oak Street, which was a restaurant specially in Russian food. And I never realized how powerful this particular column was. And that appeared, I think, it appeared on this Friday, I believe. And we'd happened to drive by on Saturday, the next day, and there was a lineup around the block, people trying to get in. That's the power the media can have on restaurants. And, you know, here's another good example. This was very, very popular. The Vancouver Sun doesn't run that anymore. You have to ask yourself why.
Yeah. Yeah, you go to the movies a lot as well, right?
Yes.
The Hangover and Inglourious Basterds, those are out on DVD now this week. Have you seen them?
No, I haven't seen them.
Yeah. Are there any good movies, though, that you'd recommend over the holidays?
Well, I definitely want to go see Avatar.
And, yeah, a lot of people have said some good things about that. That's not my up my alley, so I wouldn't
recommend. Well, I think the reason why I want to see it, Joe, is because he is taking... From everything I've read and some of the things I've seen, he is taking movie making to a whole new level, whether you like the story or not, but the kind of the visual effects and all of that. And there's a story, too, because it's not just visual effects and special effects, but he's taking movie making to a whole new level. So I find that kind of interesting to find out how the movie comes together and everything and how it's perceived. And the other one I want to go and see is Up in the Air with George Clooney.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that one as well.
Yeah, the movie's already won all sorts of awards in Hollywood and been nominated for a bunch of things, and I suspect very strongly that that's going to be a major Oscar contender.
What are your plans for the holidays?
Do you know what? We're not going to do very much during the holidays, but in the new year we're going to go to Mexico again. That's our sort of usual winter holiday. But during the holidays, we're just going to take it easy.
George, as you know, I'm a fan of the Savvy Insider, and you're good to do this. Happy Christmas, and all the best for the new year.
Okay, same to you.
Thanks very much. The website is savvyinsider.ca. George Froelich, its editor on the line. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plata.